Welcome to worship on this eve of Epiphany 4. And following our service tonight, we'll have about a five-minute break. And if a person needs to use the bathroom or whatever, we'll get things kind of ready. And then we'll proceed right into our annual meeting, which we promise will be short, also out of consideration for young families and for little kids. Okay? A couple of announcements I want to highlight for you. First of all, there are some Thrivent shirts in the back there. And if someone is looking for a t-shirt, it's free, so you can pick one of those up. There's also annual reports back there in printed form. There is the prayer calendar for the month of February, and also the newsletter for the month of February. So that's available in printed form back there for you as well. Would encourage you to take a copy of that. This coming week then, on Wednesday, the council will be meeting, and tomorrow night, the implementation team will be meeting and continuing their faithful work. I'm very pleased with their faithfulness to Christ, to Emmanuel Lutheran, and to the kingdom plans that God has. Exciting things happening, and we'll keep you informed about that as well. I believe the other announcements are in your bulletin, so I would invite you to join me as together we recite our mission statement here at Emmanuel Lutheran. Sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever, we are praising, proclaiming, and practicing Emmanuel, God with us in daily life. We rise as we are able for our gathering song. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you know the perilous choices we are prone to make that fall short of your desire for human faithfulness and obedience. Without you, our fragile nature cannot survive. Support us with your word of truth, that we may grow in faith in the midst of our trials. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning with verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus, Simon, Andrew, James, and John went into Capernaum. And immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "Who is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I posted a children's message already on our Emmanuel Facebook page that parents and grandparents can watch with their little ones. It's called Best Teacher Ever. And now I would invite you to sing verses 1 and 2 of our song of the day, Rise, Shine, You People. See how he sends the powers of evil reeling. See, behold, Epiphany. In our gospel reading for tonight, there is a man possessed by evil, by an unclean spirit, and he has an epiphany. I know who you are. Have you come to destroy us? Dear friends in Christ, who is this guy? Well, we're insiders in the story, aren't we? We know from that title page, from that descriptive announcement, Mark chapter 1, verse 1. Beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But throughout the Gospel of Mark, it seems like it's the demons that know who he is. And everyone else doesn't seem to have a clue. But they keep asking the question. The question in our gospel for tonight, what is this? Who is this? Who is this guy? He's the best teacher ever. But more than that, he's your Lord, he's your Savior, he's your God, forever and forever. And it's because of God sending his grace unbounded into his world. We know who he is. He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. The best teacher ever. Well, let's think about that for a moment. Because we've got teachers. We've got teachers in the church. We've got teachers at seminaries and colleges and in high schools and preschools. We've got teachers. In fact, we have lots of teachers in our family. When I was in Little Falls, Minnesota, it was known as a teacher's church, a large church with a lot of teachers. I have teachers in my family. They've got their credentials, their degrees, their masters. What does it mean to teach? To be a teacher? Parents are teachers. Pastors are teachers. Is it possible for us not to be a teacher regardless of our age? St. Paul says to the Christians in Galatia, let those who are taught the word share all good things with those who teach it. Jesus is a rabbi. He is a teacher different from all the other teachers. Best teacher ever. But more importantly, your Lord and your Savior. Now, what do we know about teachers? Well, we maybe have had our favorites. We've had teachers that we still remember by name because they've influenced us. They've shaped us. They didn't just communicate knowledge for the head. They didn't just instruct us in the art of writing or spelling or reading or addition, subtraction, multiplication. There was something deeper. In fact, it wasn't just about us getting passed on through that grade and getting a diploma, but it was something about the shaping of character, the very being. I mean, you've known teachers that are lackadaisical, that are last minute. I mean, they know what their contract says, so they'll show up 5 minutes before they need to be there, and they'll be gone as soon as the bell rings. And then there are other teachers that are different. I mean, they show up early, really early, and they stay until there's no more kids with questions. And then they'll spend the summer doing what? Well, updating their lesson plans. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, even with this COVID-19 and distance learning and everything, you've got some that have stepped up to the plate and gone the extra mile. And then you've got some that, well, maybe in spite of themselves, couldn't help themselves because they were so wearied by all of the stuff going on. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. You see, what I'm learning is that all of us as teachers, we need to care for the little ones with the compassion of Jesus. I mean, when we're teaching in the home, or when we're teaching in the church, or when we're teaching in the classroom, what are we teaching? Well, we're teaching the little ones best when we teach the love of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, the hope of everlasting life. Not just information or ideas that might prove valuable on Wheel of Fortune or some kind of a trivia game. But life, eternal life, spiritual matters that matter. I think of a couple of teachers that I had when I was growing up in Richmond, Wisconsin. One was Bob Olson. Now, I don't remember exactly what math classes he taught me in high school, but I do remember this. Bob Olson was not only my high school math teacher, he was also our high school Sunday school teacher in church. There every week. There was something about seeing him there every week, him teaching us, loving us kids in high school, that he wasn't just getting paid for a job to do at school. I mean, because that's what teaching, or that's what anything we do can become. Just a means of revenue. But the ones that have Christ in their heart, deep in their heart, the ones that understand that teaching is a call from God, a godly call, like other vocations that we share. Because we can teach people how to build a house. We can be a carpenter teacher, right? I mean, the classroom's all over. When you look at what Jesus did, he always taught. He did it in a boat, he did it on the lake, he did it in the fields, he did it on the pathways, he did it in the churches called the synagogues. He was always teaching and looking for an opportunity. The kingdom of God is at hand, he said. It's Kairos time, it's now time, it's salvation time. And he didn't just talk about it. He spoke it into existence because he's the Word of God. And then there was another teacher that I had. Her name was Annis Fredrickson. Now, you got to know this about Annis. She was kind of a hoarder. She was single her whole life. But she was a member of the church I grew up in, First Lutheran in Richmond, Wisconsin. And she worked at the grocery store in town, and she got 2 weeks of vacation every year. 2 weeks. And you know what she did with one of those weeks every year? She taught vacation Bible school in her church. I kid you not. Now, it's not the content that I remember, right, from Annis Fredrickson or from Bob Olson, but it was their love of Jesus. They were able to teach me in their teaching about this deep, gracious, merciful love of Jesus. And still to this day, even though they've passed on to heaven to be with Jesus, I still remember their names and the impact and the influence in my life. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, everything's clipping along. I mean, immediately, because the announcement is made. The title is given. The prescription, you know, that this is beginning. The good news, Jesus, the source, the content, the Son of God. Who is this guy? Well, he's there because prophecies have been spoken, and the word doesn't return empty. And as soon as he is baptized, the heavens are ripped apart. Oh, the fight is on. The Spirit of God descends as a dove, and that Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness where he's tempted. The fight is on. And immediately, what happens? We hear that John the Baptist has been arrested. Doesn't bode well for Jesus and his students in the classroom. He announces that Kairos time has arrived. The kingdom of God is now. Repent and believe in the good news. And immediately, he says, you, Andrew, Peter, follow me. James, John, you, follow me. And what do? Immediately. They follow him. You know why? Because he's the best teacher ever. What does that mean? Well, let's look at our gospel for tonight. Because the first thing that happens in his public ministry in Capernaum, when it's the Sabbath and he's in the synagogue and the word is being read, the first thing that we know is that those who are there listening to this teacher, Jesus, they go, who is this guy? Where did he get this at?
I mean, where did he go to seminary? Who was his rabbi? Who taught him? What's his credentials? I mean, is he just blowing smoke? No, there's something different about this guy. Because when Jesus spoke, things happened. Who is this man? He teaches with authority. That means he authors things. That means he owns things. That means that Jesus is sovereign. That means he calls the shots. I was thinking about this the other day. I thought, it's like you go into one of these big car dealerships, right? And you want to buy something and you know what you can afford. And so you say, well, it's going to be probably a van that can have multi-purpose and it can also be a used one, but hopefully one owner and in good shape and a good price. And you kind of already thought it out. And you're sitting down and you're thinking, okay, this is maybe what we can afford. We'll see. And all of a sudden, a gentleman comes and he says, I'm going to take care of Pastor Dave. And I don't know who he is. But I find out that he is the owner of the establishment. You know what that means? That means he can decide. That means that's where the buck stops. He can simply look at me and say, you know, I hear you got a mission congregation. I think you could use a brand new van. There's a whole bunch of them out there. Why don't you go take your pick? And we'll just make it a legal transaction. How about a buck? $1. Sound like a good deal? You see, you have the authority to do that. Why? Because the owner owns the business. Jesus has all authority. He and the Father are one. This is what they're recognizing. This is how he starts his public ministry. In church, on the Sabbath, a synagogue in Capernaum. The Word of God. And he teaches. And the people, they're blown away. Seriously, you know what I'm talking about. If you've had a teacher in your life that you've never forgotten because they're so memorable, you know what I'm talking about. You get astonished. You get amazed. You can't even put words into it. And immediately what happens? Huh? In the church. Where you would least expect it, I think. There's sickness. There's an unclean spirit. There's a man immediately there who speaks up, who shouts out, he's possessed. You see, the demons think that they own this man. But they don't. Because they don't have the authority. Jesus has the authority. Now, this man is screaming out, filled with the demons, and what does he say? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Ho, 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 ho. The demons know who he is, and the fight is on. And what do you think Jesus is going to do? The best teacher ever, your Lord, your Savior, the one who has all authority, the one who authors you and owns you. He says, shut up! Get out of him now! The kingdom of God is at hand. You see, it's Kairos time. And everything is going to be changed. Just because Jesus says so. You see, that's what authority is. Because he says so. He's the good news. He's the source of it. He's the content of it. He's the one who offers himself on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and rises on the third day for our salvation. You know that. If someone asks you, you're ready. You're prepared. Who is this Jesus? Well, you don't just say, well, you know, he's just one of many teachers. He's like the scribes. He's just giving you an opinion so that you can make a decision for yourself. I mean, Take your choice. No. We look at the person and we say, there's salvation only in the name of Jesus. I read a story this past week. It was in a newsletter in Texas. And in this particular story, it was talking about a supervising angel who was giving assignments out to some junior angels. I thought, well, this sounds interesting. So I'm reading the story, and the supervising angel, he says, okay, you two junior angels, the Lord has assigned you to watch over a church. You've got a church, and you've got a church. I'm going to take you down there, and I'm going to show you the church that you've been assigned to watch over. So they did. They came down to earth, and they're looking at the two churches. And the first church, I mean, it's kind of dead. And there's only one little devil there, and he's just kind of slouching on the steeple, taking a nap. And so the supervising angel, he says, so that's your assignment. And the second junior angel said, wait a minute, that looks like a cakewalk. How come he gets it so easy? He said, we got one for you too. So they go to the second church. And the second church, it's surrounded, the building is surrounded by hundreds, a multitude of demons, and they're howling and they're fighting. I mean, it's nasty. And the second junior angel says, wait a minute, this is mine? This doesn't seem fair. Why do I have this big challenge and he gets it easy? And the supervising angel said, I don't think you understand. I don't think you understand what's going on here. You see, in the first church, where your buddy is going to be watching over, well, in that church, they don't proclaim the truth of the Master. They only tell the people what they want to hear. He's got his work cut out. But in the church I sent you to, every day, God's people are proclaiming the praise of Jesus. They're proclaiming the truth of the Master. They're proclaiming that there's salvation only in the name of Jesus. There's forgiveness through his death and resurrection. You see what this story is about, my friends? Satan, the devil, the demons, they don't need to worry about the ones who are already very content with walking their way to hell. Seriously. I mean, read some of C.S. Lewis's stuff, like the Screwtape Letters. Why would the devil waste his time on people that don't want anything to do with Jesus anyway? But those who are authored and those who are owned by Jesus, your Lord, your Savior, well, don't be surprised that the fight is on. I mean, there's a battle here. Jesus was baptized and driven into the wilderness. You have been baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Satan is going to do everything he can to attack. But what does Jesus say? Get out of him. You don't own him. You don't author him. You don't have the authority. Jesus is the Holy One of God. He has the authority. You see, that's why when we go to the scriptures, we realize that Jesus is not just a teacher that talks about topics. Jesus is not a great physician who says, well, maybe we should have a lecture on chemotherapy. No, Jesus is the great physician. And when he comes and when he speaks, he wants to heal you now. Because he owns you, because you belong to him, because he authored you, because he died and rose for you. You see? They saw this on the Sabbath in the synagogue in Capernaum. They saw this. A new teaching. He teaches with authority. He's not like the scribes. You know what I'm talking about. Because there's different kinds of teachers, my friends. Some are just doing it for a job, to collect a paycheck. And other people, they know that the little one belongs to Jesus, that he died for them, that he rose for them. And, well, they get them through third grade or kindergarten or seventh grade. I mean, that's great, okay? But the best teachers, they want to get them into heaven. I know that's tricky. Can't talk about God and Jesus and that kind of stuff in school, right? Oh, but you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised how much you can teach about the love of Jesus. Because followers of Jesus, they can't fake it. Followers of Jesus don't know how to fake it. They just don't. Because they know that Jesus is the best teacher ever. And he's your Lord. He's your Savior. And he wants children to learn. To learn about the kingdom. And in the learning to receive it. And to have it and to hold it forever. Best teacher ever. Yeah. You know that story? It's about Teddy Stoddard. You know what I'm talking about, right? A lot of you have heard the story of Teddy Stoddard. It was actually written by a woman years ago, but it's a fictional story. But in this particular case, Teddy Stoddard is a true story. I'm not saying it's factual. What I'm saying is it's a true story. In this particular story, there was a teacher, a fifth grade teacher, and she comes in and she's starting to address her class for the first time, first day of school, and she says to the students, "I'm going to treat you all the same. I don't have favorites." And of course she was lying, because it's not possible to treat everybody the same. You have to, when you teach, recognize what the needs of each individual student is. Well, this teacher, she noticed that there was this little boy, Teddy. And Teddy was, well, sleeping half the time, not paying attention. And she found herself actually enjoying correcting Teddy's papers and putting with a red pen a big F on the top. She was required to read the reports in the file of Teddy from the previous years. And she postponed it, put it off to the end. Finally, she said, okay, I've got to do his too. So she's doing that with little Teddy. And she finds out that the first grade teacher said, "This is an amazing kid. Everybody likes him. He's smiling and laughing all the time." Second grade, the teacher says, "Everybody wants to be Teddy's friend. I mean, he's just hungry to learn every day he comes to school, but there's a problem in his house. His mother has a terminal illness." Third grade teacher writes, "Teddy's mother died. He seems withdrawn. His dad isn't doing anything. I'm worried about him. He doesn't socially interact with the other kids." Fourth grade teacher says, "He shows up late. He wears dirty clothes. He's always in need of a bath. It's a mess. No one wants to even be near him." Well, the teacher read all of this. Mrs. Thompson is her name. She read this and she thought, "What have I been doing? I've been teaching reading and writing and arithmetic. I've been putting F's in red ink on his papers." It was shortly before Christmas, so she had a full plate, but she knew she needed to give extra attention to Teddy. So Mrs. Thompson did. Jean Thompson had a party for the kids, and they brought presents. You know how sometimes people will give an apple to a teacher? These kids, they had these really fancy, beautiful packages, nicely wrapped. And then there was one package that was wrapped in a grocery bag, scissor cut. That was from Teddy. Mrs. Thompson did everything she could to encourage him, and she saw him making progress. And so the day of the party, she opened up the gifts, and when she came to Teddy's, it was a rhinestone bracelet with some of the stones missing, and a bottle of, well, cologne, perfume, you know, that was only about 1/4 full. And the kid started to laugh at Teddy and his gift. But she put the bracelet on. She said, "Thank you, Teddy." She dabbed herself with that perfume. And when everybody left, Teddy had hung around, and he walked up to Mrs. Thompson. And he said, "You know, today you smell just like my mama used to smell." Well, the year passed, and at the end of the year, she got a note under her door that said, "You're my favorite teacher." It was from Teddy. She got another note a year later. He had finished elementary school, which at that time was up through sixth grade. He said, "I'm going into high school. You're still my favorite teacher." 6 years later, he graduated third in his high school class. There was another note: "You're still my favorite teacher." He went off to college. And then in college, he decided he'd go even further. But after 4 years, he sent a letter to Mrs. Thompson: "You're still my favorite teacher." 4 years later, there was an invitation that came. His father had passed away. Teddy had met a gal. He was getting married. And Teddy said, "My name's a little bit longer now. Theodore F. Studdett, M.D. Would you come and sit where my mom would have sat for our wedding?" And of course she did. Jean Thompson was there. And I don't need to tell you, she had a rhinestone bracelet on, and she had dabbed herself with a little bit of that perfume that still remained in that bottle. And that day they hugged, and that day Teddy looked at her and said, "You know, you believed in me. You believed that my life had meaning and value. Thank you for making a difference." And she looked at him and said, "Oh, Daddy, you're the one that made the difference. You're the one that taught me how to teach. You're the one who taught me how to teach. Let those who are taught the word share all good things with those who teach it." "Who is this?" "I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. You're the best teacher ever, Jesus. You're my Lord, and you're my Savior. And the fight is on. But the victory, my friends, it's already yours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." I invite you to rise as you are able, and we'll sing two verses then of "Rise, Shine, You People."
Against the darkness early.
We continue with our confession. In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us.
In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown. Things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And so we share God's peace from our hearts to the hearts of others. Congregation may be seated. We continue now then with our prayers.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Holy God, thank you for being stronger than the demons, doubts, and despair that trouble us. Thank you for bold prophets, faithful teachers, gentle caretakers, and ordinary saints who serve you by mentoring, guiding, healing, and challenging us. Give us grace to go and do likewise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Raise up in your church leaders to faithfully speak your word with boldness, clarity, and charity. Give its members hearts that listen with faith, obedience, and gladness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give your persecuted disciples steadfastness, courage, and gentleness of heart to rightly confess Christ before their enemies. By your mercy, bring their tormentors to repentant faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Jesus, you teach with authority. You are the author of our lives. Drive out from this world the demons of hatred, violence, apathy, and injustice. Fill the hearts and minds of earthly leaders and the people entrusted to their care with your Holy Spirit. Give us all a passion for caring for our neighbors and grant us your peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant healing, strength, comfort, and hope to all who are wounded in body, mind, or heart, especially those we name.
Gracious Father, we pray for the healing of Tim Johnson and his surgery coming up on his heart this week. We pray that you'd continue to be with Daryl Bothan and the healing of his back. We pray for Brian Belter as he awaits a kidney transplant. We pray for Pastor Dan Berkland, for Karen Peterson, for Barb Stephenson. We pray for
Julie Blanchard, and McKenna Studer, and Kelly Stoyles, and for Gloria Weebush, and for all that we name before you.
Shield them from every power of evil. Drive from them the demons of despair. Restore them to wholeness and to the company of all who love them, and fill them with the blessed peace of your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.